It's Tuesday, January 20th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast and to day one of the Obama administration. We here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash and at Normal will be holding Barack Obama's feet to the fire and make him keep his promises about medical marijuana and get him to once again embrace the cause of at least decriminalization, if not legalization, of marijuana. Now, like probably everyone else in the country and many people around the world, I was gathered around the television set to watch this historic event.
Are you prepared to take the oath, Senator?
I am.
I,
Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear
that I will execute the office of President to the United States faithfully.
That I will execute
the office of President of the United States faithfully. And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Chief Justice Roberts, I am a daily cannabis consumer, and even I can memorize 35 words of the Constitution. I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. President to the United States? Even a stoner wouldn't mess that one up. You know, it'd just be nice if the top arbiter of the Constitution would read it every once in a while. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, a perfectly appropriate Government at Work Day, we're going to be taking a look at some of the various legislation that is making its way through the states. Joining us to discuss one piece of legislation is Paul Armentano, Normal's Deputy Director. We'll be talking about that awful Montana DUID bill that got a hearing today, and we will discuss the science behind cannabis and driving and what the future will hold for determinations of impairment on the road. Also, in an inspiring bit of political theater, we've got a visit from an activist in New Hampshire, Andrew Carroll, who's joining us to tell of his personal protest against marijuana laws. He doesn't smoke marijuana, but he thinks the laws are absurd and called a press conference to film him getting arrested for possessing marijuana. It's quite an interesting bit of civil disobedience, and we'll be talking to him in our second interview segment. Plus, we got a cool musical break, a jazzy little reworking of that funny reefer man, the old Cab Calloway tune, so you'll enjoy that. All that plus your hemp headlines and a couple of things we'd like to see changed in the new Obama administration. But we won't get too down on it. Today's a day of celebration for President Barack Obama. So let's get right to it. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Normal's Weekly Legislative Roundup. Washington State. A dozen lawmakers introduced legislation, HB 1177, this week to reclassify, that is, decriminalize, the possession of up to 40 grams of marijuana to a Class 2 civil infraction. Passage of this bill would reduce the penalties on minor marijuana possession offenses from a criminal misdemeanor punishable by up to 90 days in jail and a $500 fine to a monetary penalty of no more than $100. According to data provided by the Washington State Institute for Public Policy, enacting this policy would save state taxpayers over $7.5 million annually. Residents in Washington State are strongly encouraged to contact their House members in support of HB 1177 via Normal's online advocacy system, which you can reach through capwiz.com/normal2/issues. Montana. There has been a flurry of legislative activity this week pertaining to the medical use of marijuana. First, the good news. House Bill 73, an act to revise the state's medical marijuana law, has been referred to the House Human Services Committee. If passed, this proposal would benefit Montana patients by expanding the pool of health care providers who may legally recommend marijuana therapy under state law to include physician assistants and nurse practitioners. Now the bad news. Senate Bill 212, an act to impose a lifetime ban on qualified medical cannabis patients who commit certain driving indiscretions, has been referred to the Senate Judiciary Committee. If passed, this proposal would sanction patients found to be operating a motor vehicle with even trace levels of THC above 1 nanogram per milliliter in their blood by disqualifying them for life from the state's medical marijuana program. Both measures will be heard by legislators this week. It is important that lawmakers hear from you. If you live in Montana, you should show your support for House Bill 73 and voice your opposition to Senate Bill 212. For more information on attending these hearings, please contact info@mtmjpatients.org. New Jersey. In the coming weeks, the Senate is expected to vote on Senate Bill 119, the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act, which seeks to make New Jersey the 14th state to allow for the physician-supervised use of medicinal cannabis. Governor John Corzine backs the measure, as do many of the state's largest newspapers. Residents in New Jersey are strongly encouraged to contact their senators in support of SB 119 via Normal's online advocacy system at capwiz.com/normal2/issues. Missouri. 10 lawmakers have introduced legislation, House Bill 277, to legalize the medical use of marijuana in Missouri. If passed, this measure would, quote, give medical marijuana patients the same rights as other pharmaceutically medicated individuals, end quote. You can learn more about the measure via Normal's online advocacy system. Virginia. Virginia's 2009 legislative session has only just begun, and already a very bad bill, House Bill 1807, has been introduced that threatens to increase criminal penalties for marijuana offenses. House Bill 1807, introduced by G. Manoli Lupassi, Republican of Richmond, would create a new added felony for transporting from 1 ounce to 5 pounds of marijuana into Virginia with an intent to sell. Recently, the Virginia legislature convened a commission to study the marijuana laws and recommended decriminalization. In 2007, Virginia law enforcement arrested 19,606 people for marijuana offenses. We encourage all listeners in the state of Virginia to contact your representatives and urge them to vote no on House Bill 1807. From change.gov to whitehouse.gov, marijuana is invisible. I just visited the website of President Obama, whitehouse.gov. It is a beautiful 21st century site with links to all the possible issues one could care about. Except, of course, the one we care about. The one voted to the top of change.gov 3 times, and the top of change.org as well. I searched for the word marijuana at whitehouse.gov, and I got... Search was unable to find any results for marijuana. You may have typed your word incorrectly, have entered an empty phrase, or are being too specific. Perhaps we just entered an empty phrase, huh? I tried cannabis, even drugs. Same result. We are not welcome. This website presents the most inclusive administration ever. Pages of vision and specific policy proposals on civil rights, defense, disabilities, economy, education, energy and environment, ethics, family, fiscal, foreign policy, healthcare, Homeland Security, Immigration, Iraq, Poverty, Rural, Seniors and Social Security, Service, Taxes, Technology, Urban Policy, Veterans, and Women. And we don't even get a bone thrown to us in additional issues. The slightest bit of mention of our issue is found on the Civil Rights page. Expand use of drug courts. President Obama and Vice President Biden will give first-time nonviolent offenders a chance to serve their sentence, where appropriate, in the type of drug rehabilitation programs that have proven to work better than a prison term in changing bad behavior. Changing bad behavior. You're being bad. 'Cause drugs are bad, okay? Okay. If it's your first time and we find it appropriate, we'll call you an addict and sentence you to rehab. Sure, you'll still have a criminal conviction and that would keep you from ever becoming president, but there must be some punishment for your bad behavior. If you continue your bad behavior a second time and we catch you, then it's off to prison for you. Your tax dollars at work. Latest anti-pot ONDCP ads. Okay, so I looked at the whitehouse.gov site, so of course I wanted to see what Obama has changed about the ONDCP out at whitehousedrugpolicy.gov. Doesn't look like it's changed yet, and considering he hasn't appointed anyone to the position of drug czar yet, that's not surprising. But if that site is still up, and with as much attention as the Obama team has put into their internet relations, I've got to accept that what is up there is the words of President Obama until they come down. So this is a new radio ad they have out called Stoner Simulation.
Welcome to the Stoner Simulation Station. I will now hypnotize you high. Your eyelids are getting heavy. You're feeling very sleepy, and lazy, and worthless, and hungry, and paranoid. And now you've got this sinking feeling like you've disappointed everyone you're close to. Because you have. This concludes our Stoner Simulation session. Learn more at AboveTheInfluence.com.
Sponsored by ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Next is a video ad, and it's called Achievements, and the ad features various teens listing their various achievements, which of course are really failures. And then the tagline at the end of the video that's shown graphically, but not said, is a graphic that says, "What has weed done for you?"
I stole from my little sister.
I got straight D's.
I left my ex-girlfriend 27 messages last night.
I made my mother cry.
I let people draw on me.
I ditched my friends and let them find their own way home.
What has weed done for you?
Isn't it nice to know that after we voted for change, that our tax dollars are still going toward producing ads that have been proven not to work?
...76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMAL. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work, here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states, and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body does the legal price. The birds, they sing, the creatures live. It's an honest day's work. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's an honest day's work.
If you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org. And let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
The afternoon pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny the truth?
We're looking all around the country at the latest bills since all these legislatures have come into session at the state level, and there's really a scary one coming around in the state of Montana that would directly affect the medical marijuana patients up there, and it has to do with driving. So I'm bringing to the stash the deputy director of NORMAL, Paul Armentano, who's quite the expert and has studied a lot of this information on DUID and cannabis. And so, Paul, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be here, Russ.
First of all, let's get the details out of the way. What is it that this bill in Montana would do?
This is an interesting bill from the standpoint of I'm not familiar with any other state that allows for the use of medical marijuana trying to impose legislation like this. This is Senate Bill 212, and what this bill would do is it would infer that an individual who is driving a vehicle and has trace levels of THC in their blood above 1 nanogram per milliliter is in fact impaired to drive. And if they are convicted under this statute, they would be barred from using marijuana medically for the rest of their life. Mm. They would be kicked out of the state-sponsored medical marijuana program indefinitely. And that sanction certainly seems to be over the top. I mean, we don't even take individuals convicted of drunk driving and bar them from the use of alcohol for the rest rest of their life. So how on earth would we take individuals who are using a medication under their doctor's supervision and tell them that because they committed a driving infraction, they no longer have legal access to that medicine? It's simply absurd.
Well, especially when you consider that there's all sorts of legal prescription medications that can cause quite a bit of driving impairment too, and if you were busted under those, they wouldn't stop you from taking OxyContin or Percocet or whatever it was.
No, exactly. We know benzodiazepines are the leading medicines involved in driver accidents. And if a person commits a moving violation while clearly under the influence of benzodiazepines, in most states they do face criminal penalties, but they do not face a penalty of no longer being able to legally take those drugs. So why marijuana would be separated from the thousands of other legal prescription drugs that can impair driving, to me illustrates that this bill is not about public safety. It's simply a way to try and target the medical marijuana using population in Montana.
Yeah, and when you say benzodiazepines, what kind of prescription drugs are those, in case some of the listeners don't know?
Drugs like Xanax and Valium.
Oh, okay. Now, with regard to this issue of cannabis and driving, I know that when we talk about bringing up the issue of legalization or decriminalization, one of the talking points that our opponents always run to has to do with this idea that there will be these cannabis-impaired drivers out on the road. What does the research show about cannabis and driving, and how much of a threat to public safety is this really?
Well, it's certainly a less of a threat than the use of alcohol in driving. We know that, to be perfectly clear. But that said, there is some psychomotor impairment when a person uses marijuana. Now, that impairment is demonstrably less and much different than the impairment exhibited by somebody under the influence of alcohol, even legal amounts of alcohol, but there is, in fact, some impairment. Generally, what you see is that in the first 1 to 2 hours after a person has used marijuana, there is a decrease in reaction time. They also tend to, if they're behind the wheel, to weave more than they would otherwise, and they tend to drive more cautiously and lower their speed because they tend to be aware of their impairment. But you do see, as I noted earlier, a decrease in reaction time and some less ability to maintain the vehicle in a straight line, and it does appear when you compare accident or motor crash data that individuals that have just recently used marijuana do seem to have a slightly higher elevated risk of an accident when compared to drivers that are completely sober, but this risk, as I said, is much lower than the risk experienced by drivers who have any amount of alcohol, including legal amounts of alcohol in their system.
And of course, no one would endorse that we, fire up a bowl and then hit the road. That's not, of course, nobody would endorse that. That's not responsible use. And so I guess another thing that I'm wondering here too is, you had mentioned something about 1 nanogram per milliliter in the blood as being a detection threshold in this Montana bill, and we do want to encourage safety in our roads, and a legitimate complaint from law enforcement is, how are they going to determine whether or not someone using cannabis behind the wheel is impaired, since, as we all know, the inactive metabolites that you pick up in a urine screen don't tell you whether you're impaired? So where's the science going on this?
Well, there is some limited science showing that you can infer driver impairment from blood THC levels. Unfortunately, you can't infer impairment from blood THC levels of 1 nanogram or 2 nanograms or 3 nanograms. So, essentially the threshold that this bill sets, even though there is a rebuttable presumption written into it, it puts the burden of proof unduly on patients who realistically are not impaired to drive. There is some evidence that indicates if a person is operating a motor vehicle and their blood THC levels are above 5 nanograms per milliliter, that they may have an increased risk of accident. But you don't see that elevated risk in drivers who tend to have blood THC levels below 5 nanograms per milliliter. So the fact that they set this threshold so low and really picked an arbitrary number shows, once again, that the people that were behind this bill were not interested in looking at the science in this matter, and they weren't interested in really trying to protect public safety. Instead, like I said, they're simply trying to target the medical marijuana-using population in Montana.
Mm. Does Normal have any resources or suggestions to legislators or law enforcement that are looking to craft some way of being able to protect public safety with regard to driving under the influence of cannabis? Is there any official recommendation on that line?
I published a paper about a year ago now that is available on the Normal website that summarizes a great deal of the literature regarding marijuana driving and impairment. And the final section of that paper actually has a discussion that talks about just this issue, because it's not just law enforcement that are concerned about the issue of marijuana and driving. In fact, many people in our community, many people that use marijuana, many people that want marijuana law reform, also recognize that this concern of marijuana and driving is a real impediment to reform. So in this paper, I outline four or five different ways where I think law enforcement could better address this concern. And that paper, as I said, is available on the website. It's called Cannabis and Driving, a Scientific and Rational Review. And I would encourage people to read that paper and really familiarize themselves with the literature surrounding this issue. And, when people are using medical marijuana, just like many medications that you receive from your doctor and contain a warning that say, do not drive or operate a motor vehicle after using this medication, I would, not be averse to medical marijuana carrying a similar warning.
Yeah, I think everyone needs to understand on our side of the fence here that these concerns by the general public and law enforcement aren't arbitrary. They're not meant to be cruel or punishing to us. It's a lot of times I think these legislators, they just don't know. I don't necessarily think these guys in Montana that put this bill together are necessarily out to get the patients. I think maybe they just don't know what the science is, and we need to help educate them. Would you agree with that sentiment?
For the most part, I would agree with that, particularly in this realm, because the science is really changing. For years, we were under the assumption that when a person smoked marijuana, THC would not be detectable in their blood for more than a few hours. And in fact, for an occasional user, that tends to be the case. But only recently did investigators in Germany and NIH recently did a study on this too. They said, well, I wonder if you look at heavy chronic users of marijuana, if THC would be excreted from the system just as quickly. So then they did some studies, a couple of which were published 2 or 3 years ago now, and they actually found that, quite the opposite. When people were heavy users of marijuana, low levels of THC were detected in their blood for much longer than just a few hours, in some cases up to 48 hours. And in one study, there were some heavy users that had THC, residual THC levels in their blood for up to a period of 7 days after the last time they used marijuana.
Mm.
Nobody was aware of that sort of timeline until just recently, because the study simply hadn't been done on that type of population. So we're just learning this information, and it's, it may be a bit much to expect some of our legislators to be keeping up with this science, because the science really is changing every day. So we do have an obligation, as you said, to try and educate many of these legislators who in some cases may have their hearts in the right place, but are simply inadvertently writing very bad law.
Yeah. Well, the law up in, or the bill being proposed up in Montana is SB 212. And Paul, for our listeners out there in Montana, or actually anywhere around the country who want to get politically involved, where can they go on the Normal page there to get some resources for contacting the legislators and writing letters and such?
Sure. We do have a page set up on the Normal site. If they simply go to capwiz.com/normal2/issues, and you can get to that page from the main page of Normal. If you look on the right-hand side, there is a box called Current Issues, and under that box, there is a prompt telling people to change the marijuana laws in their state. And when you click on that, it will take you to the Normal Issues box, and we have alerts for each state where legislation is pending. And they can go to those alerts. From there, they can contact their state representatives. They can email a pre-written letter to those representatives, and they can also be updated on when, in fact, there are hearings on these types of pending bills. And in this case, I believe there's a hearing in Montana on Tuesday at 9 a.m., and individuals in that local area may want to make their voices heard.
Absolutely. And in this age of the internet, there's really no excuse for not getting politically involved. It only takes a couple of clicks. The letters are all written for you. Easy drop-down lists for you to find your state and what bills you need to be calling on. It's time to get politically active, Stashers, and 2009 is going to be the year that we see some dramatic changes in cannabis law reform. Paul Armentano is the deputy director of Normal and the expert on all things cannabis when we want to look at the science. Thanks for joining us again, Paul, and we'll talk to you again sometime.
Great to be here, Russ.
¿Es usted o alguien que usted conoce un fumador de marihuana? ¿Ha usted o alguien en su familia sido detenido por una violación de las leyes de marihuana? Entonces, usted necesita saber la verdad sobre la marihuana. La Organización Nacional para la Reforma de las Leyes de Marihuana, conocida como NORMAL, es una fuente importante de información verdadera sobre la marihuana. También es una fuente de contactarse con un abogado especializado en esos asuntos. Para más información, busque en www.normal.org o llame al 1-888-867-NORML.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. It started in 2001 with a simple premise: take acclaimed musicians from a shared hometown, but very different musical backgrounds, put them in a funky recording studio, and have them create spontaneous art. From that humble thought came the mighty oak known around the world as the Philadelphia Experiment, and hot on its heels, the underground classic Detroit Experiment. And now, after 4 years of crafty deliberation, some of the best musicians from New York City have emerged with what is fast becoming the most anticipated record of the year, the Harlem Experiment. The group includes Carlos Alomar, who plays with David Bowie, Ruben Rodriguez, who plays with Tito Puente and Eddie Palmieri, Don Byron with Vernon Reed, Eddie Martinez of Run DMC, Chuck Berrios of Chick Corea's band, Queen Esther, who works with Duke Ellington, Stephen Bernstein from the Sex Mob, Taj Mahal, James Hunter, and Olu Dara. Here they are with their cover of the Cab Calloway classic, It's the Harlem Experiment, with Reefer Man.
Man, what's the matter with that cat there? Must be full of reefers. Full of reefer? Yeah, man. You mean that cat's high? Sailing. Sailing? Sailing lightly. Get away from here. Man, is that the reefer man? That's the reefer man. I believe he's losing his mind. I think he lost his mind. Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? said he walks the ocean. Anytime he takes the notion, then you know you're talking to that reefer man. Have you ever met this funny reefer man? Reefer man. Oh, baby, 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 this reefer man. Reefer man. If he trades you dimes for nickels and he calls watermelons pickles, you know you're talking to that reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he takes a sudden mania and wants to give you Pennsylvania, then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
We're always looking around the country to find people that are coming up with creative ways to protest this insane war on drugs. And I'm going to take you up to the upper right corner of the United States here, up in New Hampshire. And we're speaking with James Carroll, who's involved with a website called freekeen.com. That's K-E-A-N-E, freekeen.com. And James, welcome to the Stash.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. I think, first off, we ought to tell people that are listening to the show that you yourself are not a cannabis consumer. You've never used marijuana in your life, right?
I have tried it before, but no, I don't. I do not currently smoke. I didn't really like it, and what am I saying?
So. Oh, okay, cool. So let's tell folks that didn't catch the story earlier what exactly it is that got the attention of law enforcement here with your protest.
One second, sorry. Well, basically, I sent out press releases to the media and to the local Keene police force, and I told them that on January 10th, which was just this past Saturday, that I'd be openly possessing marijuana, and that they were welcome to come and enforce the law or do what they needed to do.
Okay. So you're just doing this as a protest of the marijuana laws, that really that you possessing it was not a big deal, and you wanted to kind of prove that point? Is that the idea?
Yeah, the idea was basically just to show how absurd it is that, you know, I was standing in a public place minding my own business pretty much, and I wasn't harming anyone, and yet you can find videos on YouTube and on freekeen.com of them coming, the cops showed up, and they arrested me, and it was just, you know, just to demonstrate how ridiculous it is that we throw people in jail for this.
Now, is this the first time you've done this?
A protest like this? Yeah, this is the first time I've done something like this.
Is it something you plan on doing again?
Well, since the first one actually went really well, I think definitely in the next few months or even sometime during the summer, we definitely might consider doing this again, hopefully with some more people.
Well, that's great. Now, what kind of reaction have you gotten from your friends and family about this?
My friends and family, most of my friends and family live in California. I mean, at least before I moved out here to New Hampshire. My parents reacted like they didn't really know why I was doing this. You know, their parents and my mom was really worried, obviously. But other than that, they support the ideas. They support at least what I'm trying to prove and what I stand for. So.
Well, that's great. Now, how about the local media there in New Hampshire? How's their reaction?
Unfortunately, we haven't even gotten very much coverage here from the local media. I've been sending press releases out, and other people have been as well, and we really haven't gotten much of a response from them.
Hmm. Do you think maybe this summer you might put this together again and, I don't know, have more people get arrested or something to make a bigger splash?
That would be a good idea. We were kind of testing the waters with this one, and we weren't sure. This is probably the most daring, or at least the biggest kind of civil disobedience that we've done so far. And the one with least the most amount of penalties, I mean, up to a year in jail and a $2,000 fine for a Class A misdemeanor, which is what marijuana possession is here in New Hampshire. So, I mean, obviously the laws up here are a lot more archaic than some other places around the country. So we tested the waters here, and we found out the cops did, in fact, show up and arrest me. And so it would be a good idea to do it again with more people and try to actually get the media to show up and videotape it and report on it.
Hmm. You know, I've always found it strange when I look at the map of the United States where you've got Vermont right there that's a medical marijuana state, and you got Maine right next door that's a medical marijuana state, and they've got decriminalized marijuana, and then Massachusetts right to your south, which just decriminalized marijuana. What makes New Hampshire different among that geographical area? It seems like it really stands out.
I'm not sure. I kind of was wondering the same thing, and that's one of the reasons why I think, focusing on marijuana, I mean, there's a lot of things that are wrong, obviously, and a lot of laws that need to be changed. But in terms of what can be fixed immediately and what people are ready for to change, it would be marijuana laws. And if you take a look at the public opinion polls in New Hampshire, you'll find that most of the over, 50%, so are ready for marijuana laws to change, and they're ready for it to be decriminalized, and they're ready for even medical marijuana reform as well, and yet it's just not happening.
Hmm. Well, James, it's really brave of you to come out there and make this protest on behalf of all the people in New Hampshire that are looking for a change in these laws. Is there a way that people can get involved to help you out, either through the website, email, or any other way that they could help the Free Keen movement?
Basically, I'm a part of a larger project called the Free State Project, which is a plan to get as many libertarians as possible to move to New Hampshire and work for a small government. And so if you consider yourself a libertarian, or maybe if you're a Ron Paul person, or if you just love freedom, then you can definitely check out the other website, which is freestateproject.org, and consider moving up to New Hampshire and getting involved, because that's why I came up to New Hampshire, and that's why I did the project that I did. So.
Yeah, New Hampshire's a small enough state with small enough population that if enough like-minded people went there and started taking control of local politics, you guys could make a big splash up there in the Northeast, I think.
Yeah, that was the plan. It's definitely, you get a lot of people up here who aren't even, most of the people who have moved up here aren't even necessarily, they don't even care about taking control of the government. A lot of them are out-of-the-system people. A lot of them are even, anarchists, and they just want, they basically just want the government off their backs. And so that's what we're up here to do, just to kind of fight for the little guy and get the government off their backs. And marijuana prohibition is one example of something the government's doing that is wrong and unconstitutional for all, extensive purposes. And it's really just a violation of individual rights, and it's time for it to change. So,
well, I'm really glad that you did it. And again, I want people to check out the videos. They're out at freekeen.com. That's freekeane.com. They got videos there and on YouTube.
Keene.
I'm sorry?
Keene.
Oh, it's Yeah. Oh, it's K-E-E-N-E. Oh, my. Looks like I'm going to have to fix a few posts on my website then. All right, K-E-E-N-E.com. And check those videos out on YouTube as well. It's a perfect example of the kind of civil disobedience we haven't had in this country for a while, of people just standing up and forcing the public to see how unjust this is. And James, you're a hero to me for doing it. Thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Joel, thanks a lot for having me on.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a few of my thoughts about the incoming Obama administration. And I don't want stashers to get too downhearted by not seeing any response from Obama on the issue of marijuana. Remember how Obama, during the campaign, said, "It's not about him, it's about us." And I believe that this is the kind of issue that he really agrees with us on, but knows that he can't come out and lead on. It's up to us. It's up to we, the people, to assert our natural right to the pursuit of happiness and assert that it is no longer appropriate to arrest and harass marijuana smokers. There's nothing wrong with smoking a little grass. Obama knows that as well as anybody. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us for the podcast and making us the most popular marijuana podcast on the internet. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and until that time, take care of each other, tokers.